Welcome, Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, May 9th, Saturday night, 2009-er. I guess old Steve Barish really cut the juice last night. He was really hot and hopping. So if y'all want to hear something really good, check out last night's show. As promised, we're going to continue on with our last Saturday night show. So we are going to be rocking and rolling right now. Here we go.
So when you want to go to sleep at night, you put that on your stereo if you've got a CD player, and that will put you out. It just gets rid of all that stuff. So we've been, that one's called Higher Ground. Yeah. So we did that, and like who was in my band? Like, for example, who do I play with? Well, I've got John Hernandez from the Oingo Boingo. I've got another guy from Kenny Loggins, who's a guitar player. I've got all the best in the world were attracted to this kind of energy. So we had accomplished musicians in there working with all these different sounds. My sax player, for example, was from Roy Orbison's band on a song called Rishi, which is on Atlantis, which is the new album, which we're doing a new album now called From Andromeda with Love, which is more down to the, we're now taking the music down to the masses. We're going to be on the radio probably next week if I get my act together to get their demos over there. So we got the music kind of starting to come out commercially along with everything else that we're doing worldwide. Meanwhile, we've been producing music on another level with our systems through different artists like U2 and Phil Collins and those kinds, Peter Gabriel, Rod Stewart, using our systems. So the influence of the Pleiadian technology has already started into these people. And if you notice, these guys are the survivors, you know. Well, I'm definitely not using Axl Rose, for example. Okay, you get the picture now. Okay, so now we have all of these things happen. We've created the hormone. We release it into the system. When we release it into the system, it goes up to the brain, right? The brain is a switch. This is right back where we started from now, remember? We have a switch that's normally closed, and when the receptor comes, it opens, which is called the effector. When this happens, it sends electrical pulses from the electrolytes that are in the brain, remember, down through the body, all through the cells, causing consciousness. And then we have another receptor that's normally open when the hormone comes up, and it sends the body energy, the electricity through the spine, causing another effect, turning everything on. So this turning on and turning off of this switch, which is what the hormones do, this turning on is the same thing as rotating that water wheel up there to different frequencies. And when this happens, the body can respond, and you have nerves, you know, you have your nerves working for the parasympathetic, then you get the consciousness, you get the sensitivity, you get the vibration, the brain turns on, the conscious body, you, becomes aware of your surroundings, or you begin to control your surroundings. Basically, you have the picture now, kind of like how the body works in a nutshell. There's one other point I was going to show you dealing directly with the nerves. I'm going to show you some devices now. By the way, I think this is taped. This thing is working. Looking directly at the body, how it works, when coming out of the brain up there and coming down through the body is this electricity. The core of the wire in the human is not an electrical wire. It's a wire made up of potassium, sodium, and phosphorus. So you need a lot of that to make this work. And along the way, and by the way, to keep the wires from touching each other, we have fat deposits along each wire. It's like insulation. You know, if the insulation on your power cord goes, it short circuits, right? If I stick this, you know, in some acid, right, this will dissolve and the television will blow up. I mean, it'll quit. Because the wire is short-circuited. The representative of this insulation in your body is called lecithin. Okay, it's the myelin sheath around the nerves. You need a lot of lecithin. If I stick this in the water, I might get a shock from it, right? Because it starts short-circuiting. Okay, that's ringing in your ears, tinnitus, when it happens in your body, and that's also from stress. You need more lecithin in your body. Okay, any questions on any of that? Now, of course, I'm going to talk about the aura. I'm going to erase this now over here. Has everybody got this? Yeah, and I'll turn the light up a little bit so you can see it. Okay. Mineral. Okay. First of all, the DNA, which we talked about, which then eventually is the consciousness of the mineral. We use a lot of crystal, of course, to amplify minerals. This is Akashic Records. We just mined these in Arkansas a couple of weeks ago. We have a complete line of crystals that has to do with all this, which I won't get into today. Enzymes, which is the pH factor, which has to do with the hydrogen atom. Remember, we're made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Okay, we go from that. We go into the vitamins, which are the seven rays, protein, peptides, hormones, stored in the endocrine glands, released by vibration, which turns off and turns on the brain into frequencies that's sent back to the entire cell body as a unit, giving us consciousness as we know it. Okay? This basic blueprint of the human consciousness and body. Okay? When you get, and I showed you the other thing I did, one point I didn't bring out with the axon, with the myelin sheath, is that when you go through changes, one of the things our systems do and the receptors do, you see, these have to be amplified. Now, can I erase this now? Okay, when you look at the human body, once again, there's another way to look at it now. There's many ways to look at it. My book, Death of Ignorance, goes into some of this stuff. Here's the human brain up here, with gray matter on it, with the switches in there. Let's put the switches in the switching section. Okay, coming down these thousands of wires, each wire has a amplifier on it. Actually, electronically, it would be drawn like this. This would be the selenium, germanium. This is an oscillator. And the idea is to get these in frequencies. There's another thing ELF and stress does, it gets these out of frequency. These things right here, these are called nodes of Vernier. And when you get all these in frequency, it takes very little effort for the brain to send out electricity to the body. When they're out of phase, it takes a lot. When they're out of phase, it's taking a lot. It's when disease comes in, outside stuff comes in. So effectively, when you have a low-frequency body, these aren't in phase. These are lead wires. Lead wires are they use lead for, is to absorb radiation in nuclear things to insulate it, right? So it absorbs it. It's not what you want. You want to change these wires to copper, to gold, to platinum. When they get up to platinum, what happens is it takes very little effort to get all of this down here. These are completely in phase. And so what happens is the energy gets so high that the cerebral spinal fluid starts to rise up and move up and down freely through the spine, lowering the resistance even more. Whenever a yogi, for example, is put in a coffin and stops his heart and thrown underwater for 8 hours, he raises his cerebral spinal fluid, drops his electrical requirements of his entire body to basically nothing, and survives for 8 or 10 hours not feeling anything. Okay? That's super conscious state. When that happens, when you're in the conscious state with that capability of your body, your aura field doesn't just go out 10 feet, it goes out a million miles or a billion miles. And so what happens is lesser aura fields in the influence will feel your influence and you become the channel to others. That's how channeling works. When you start making contact with ETs, you build your frequency up to a sensitivity of their radiation and you become sensitive to their radiation. This is basically what I started out saying. Okay, so this is all the stuff that our systems do. And I'll go into some of those now and show you some pictures of them in the slides. Yeah.
How is that modified at all in relation to contact with electromagnetic fields from a craft or from a
bomb? What's this now?
The chain that you gave.
Yeah.
The chain of the body.
Yeah.
Is there any kind? Is that cycle interrupted at all when it is thrown into massive exposure to electromagnetic fields?
Oh yeah, it can be destroyed. Sure. You
can
have a very harmful effect. You have to gradually build yourself up and acclimate yourself to this. They're destroyed. Look at Travis Walton. Exactly. That's usually a negative experience. We have entire programs. This is my tape series. Okay, now, as you get to our booth. Now, here I want to show you one other thing. Here's a human right here. Here's human B generating an aura field. Here's human A, okay, case in point. Here's human C over here, case in point. Okay, each one of these persons has an aura. As soon as A and B and C come together, the frequency, the friction, the feedback becomes personality. You have no personality until you encounter another person. Okay, if you were a hermit on this planet, you'd never develop a personality. The feedback from the personality creates a secondary field. That becomes the astral plane. That's why the Egyptians were always embalming themselves, not to preserve and come back, but to support the astral plane. They always embalmed the priests and the higher ones. Yeah, it creates the astral plane. So if this person C just died, had a heart attack or on a car wreck or something, he'd be up on the astral plane. If these two were Catholics, if they were all Catholics, he'd be living the Catholic heaven or the Catholic hell, depending on where he felt he should be. And then, let's say a person D was over here, they got pregnant, here comes C back into them, okay? So, when you get up on the astral plane, you get down and you look at oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon, and take into the shape of the pyramid. The pyramid in Egypt has seven levels or seven chambers, which the initiates took birth in. Each seven chambers brings those energies in from those seven planes. In your body, it's the same thing. When you go into the body, you have these seven different chambers bringing these seven different frequencies of life force in, and that's done through the integrity of the shape of the pyramid. That's why pyramids are so important. That's a drawing of the energy right there. I've got an exercise we could do. I'll do it a little later on if we get a chance. If you look at the red blood cell, well, the red blood cell is two alpha, two beta chains, and it's an octahedron. Octahedron grounds out, brings in seven levels of consciousness, distributes it through the body. That's how you live. Stop the blood, stop the spirit in the body. Okay, the hormone has to do with the body functioning, but spirit, you got to be in there. You know, so that's what the blood does. Brings it in. Okay, the grays have a chlorophyll based system. They don't have a four sided pyramid. They have a three sided pyramid. Okay. Three-sided pyramid is an octahedron. I'm sorry, tetrahedron. This is an octahedron. So that means that the grays don't come all the way down to the violet. They only come down to the indigo frequencies. See? So as a result, they can manipulate us when we go to sleep at night, because the first color you hit is indigo when you go to sleep at night. See? That's why it's important. Oh. I have physically seen them. I have physically spoke with them. I have physically touched them in this body. And I wasn't asleep. Yeah. They are very physical. But they come to you in a point where you think they're non-physical. They're physical. A plant is physical. A plant has feeling. A plant has emotion. If an owner... It's physical, but it's not something you're going to put your hand on. It's a plane of emotion. And the gray's body, you got to understand, the gray's body is falling apart because he doesn't relate to the physical plane. It's deteriorating. He's going more astral every day. He was physically once an insect, okay? An insect that evolved with mass quantities of intellect.
Go back a little bit. That's a pretty big thing.
Well, it's in my tape series, isn't it? Should be. You listen to it. Yeah, put them on our vitamins and give them half the dosage. Yeah, and you can take the pills apart and mix it with their drink. They don't even have to have the capsules. You can just pour it in there, in their juice. They'll never even taste it. No, you can reverse it by tuning your aura frequency up. It repels them. You know, see the grays, you attack an insect. You can do it with sound, like fleas on a dog, right? Or you can attack them through their nerves, like a chlorodane does to an ant, which... Basically, chlorodane is the chemical doesn't kill the ant. It's the frequency of the smell that gets the ant. Okay? That's how they work. Yeah, the minerals will do that. No, you drank them. They're the ones we had around. All of them. It all dissolves. Because you bring your electrolyte up higher than the transmitter frequencies. Yeah. Yeah, we do all that stuff, but I mean, I show people how to do it, but what can you do in an hour and a half, you know?
Well, if people want to stop the abduction, remember, people put video tapes in their room,
it's always, always. All you got to do, let me show you the quickest way to get rid of the problem with the gray. It's real simple. At night, especially. Down here, this right there. That's where you start. You want to get rid of grays? There it is. You go from that to a fire star. They can't penetrate that field. It's the wrong field. Okay? And this blocks, you get that jumping sensation at night? This blocks that. This is this thing blocks all frequencies. And you run alongside that because it's the shape. Anything that hits this turns into the frequency of the human body, 7 rays. Now, you want to have a problem with the grace, take one side off of that and sleep in a 3-sided one. Now you're a target. Okay? It's real simple. Now, that's made out of steel and enamel and gold. That capstone on the top is gold. And then when you transmit into other devices that we make, we like the irradiator, you put another device on top of it called the orb. They're sitting out there. We brought one with us. That's all we could bring to the show. We have a 10-foot size, which we brought, which breaks down here. This is a 9-foot one here. It goes over a king-size bed or a large bed. We make them in all different sizes. Now, to get rid of the ELF, we use these things. Okay, this is a star orb. This is the best anti-ELF device there is. If you notice... Well, I got to show you something else here. In your house, I'll show you in a minute. Okay, and I want to show you something else. Let me have one person for muscle testing real quick. Just you want? Okay. Okay, just put your arm straight out. I'll make a fist. And that will relax. Now, when I push down, resist. Put the pyramid on. Resist. Okay, now I put the arm back up. Pyramid upside down. Resist. Resist. Nothing. Okay. That, okay, you sit down. That's the female energy, okay? And most humans on this planet can't handle the female energy. We're upside down in it. So the grays work on that, okay? They love to manipulate your female energy. If you test somebody that's been using our stuff for a long period of time, they're strong on this upside down. So that's why we have these stands. See, the minerals, which is intelligence, right, is sitting in the upside down to teach your body, your DNA, to work with the female energy, okay? The cross, if you look at an irradiator, I don't think I brought any, but if you look at one, I'll show you a picture of one. If you look at an irradiator, or even on a receptor, you're going to see pyramids right side up, pyramids upside down. Okay? That's a scalar frequency where they come together. It creates what's called a scalar wave. I'll show you, if I have time, I'll show you what that looks like. Okay? This device right here, I'm getting ahead of myself. Brings in the positive energy, but this gets rid of the negative energy and builds the negative female energy in the body. Now let me show you how to wire this guy up, because this is wired. This is not just laying there. In your house, and I had to put two of them in my house in Laguna because I've been under so much attack. Of course, I've been in their bases. My wife's been there. We've been up at Dulce doing all kinds of wild stuff with them. If you look at a plug, right? Okay, here's the ground wire. This is going over to a generator somewhere in town, right? This side over here of the plug is going into ground, and this generator is grounded, okay? So what happens is, through the ground or the ground side of the plug, which is also supposedly connected to ground, is where the ELF is put in. The ELF comes in somewhere along here, and it rides up the ground wire. So rather than you dealing with one side of the plug or the other and getting yourself electrocuted, getting the wrong side of the plug, and they oftentimes change polarity, we work with this part of the plug. You got it? Now, what you got to do, if you're going to put this in your bedroom, now Paul Benowitz, when he did regressions on Myrna Hansen, found that if he didn't take a person like her into a screen room, when he did a regression on a person that had been abducted and implanted by grays, the grays could sense that at the point that hypnosis was taking place. So he found that the first thing was to have a screen room. The second was to ground out the plug in the ground to ground further. Okay? So let's say this is your bedroom. Your bed's in here. Okay? You've got a plug over here on the wall, and you've got a plug over here on the wall. You've got to isolate all the circuits in your bedroom. The way you do is you turn everything on. You plug a lamp in here and you turn it on. Turn a lamp here on. Maybe you got a ceiling lamp. You turn that on. Then you go out to your circuit box and you find out if one circuit knocks them all out, then you only got to ground it once. But what happens is if you take two circuits, let's say one circuit breaker gets these two lamps here and another circuit breaker gets this guy over here. Okay? Then what you got to do is you got to find out what's common over here and you got to ground all these out. So what you do is you hook the device up, this thing, like this, hang it somewhere in your room, and you first of all, you take one side of that device, you run a wire physically outside the house, stick it in the ground like a copper wire, okay? Not to a pipe. preferably, if you're in an apartment and you have to use a wire, a pipe, or, you know, like a water pipe under your sink, that's okay, but this is better. Then what you do is you take the individual wires and run them over here and over here to this. So this device right here is physically hooked to those third wires and ground. Okay, that's how that's hooked up. Any questions? You can use one of those for your whole house if it's not too big. In our house, it's so big we have to use a couple of them. Okay, one is not enough because we have multiple level houses. Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and change the tape now so we don't have a big flat spot. And off we go to the next section right here, which should be as good as the other one.
Building a Powerful Immune System and Raising Consciousness by Dr. Fred Bell. Dr. Bell is a holistic medical doctor who began his career as a scientist at the early age of 9, working with his father at the University of Michigan, researching atomic energy. An author, musician, former physicist, and NASA engineer, and part of the Saturn and Apollo lunar missions, Dr. Fred Bell is today an internationally known contractee and speaker on preventive medicine and Pleiadian science. His book, The Promise, co-authored by Brad Steiger, is now released in Europe, Japan, and the U.S. Death of Ignorance and his 18-hour educational tape series are also fundamental works. Soon to be released will be his new book, The Secret Promise. Our speaker, Dr. Fred Bell.
Thank you. Well, it's fun to be up here again. I haven't been up here in a whole month. You guys going to have any more conferences for December and November? Yeah, it was fun listening to Stephen Greer in there. Talk about his work that he's doing, and you know, it's in our hands. But it's kind of cute because the new book I'm writing called The Secret Promise has all that science that came from the extraterrestrials. So I've been a contactee since I was a kid, and many races, mostly the Pleiadians and Andromedans in later years. And I'm just finishing a book that explains pretty much all about parallel universes and how we interface with them. Talks about how we create earthquakes and how we can stop them, how we can control our environment and our destiny. It pretty much put all of Nostradamus' serious quatrains to rest. But people are still running a little bit of scare because the fear factor of ignorance still runs rampant in society. But that'll all go away pretty soon. One of the most exciting chapters that I just finished was on time travel. Time travel is really a great thing, and it's quite possible now. I was able to build a time machine back in the mid-80s. As a matter of fact, it was constructed and operated during the last El Nino. And now that we're having another one down in California in this part of the world, I would be writing a chapter in my book, which is basically a book in itself, about a phenomenon that really works well. Time travel is quite possible, and is much easier to attain during these type of weather conditions. Because what happens is the bands or the bonds between the astral plane and the physical plane, and there's 8 side continuums between our world and the parallel universe. And these, as they come together, there's a thing called the whirling dervish. It's an energy field that manifests itself at a certain point in time. And in our relationship with the Pleiades, we rotate around the Pleiades every 25,827.5 years. This is called the precession of the equinox. In that rotational period, we have 2,250-year cycles, which we call ages. We're coming out of what's called the Piscean Age, and we're moving into the Aquarian Age. When you go from one age to another, the vibratory frequency of the forces that link up our nuclear assembly in our bodies change frequency. We are made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Carbon atom is the pyramid. It's a pyramid shape. It's an octahedron. And its job in the body and in form is to consciously direct the metabolism and construction of all different atomic structures. The hydrogen atom in our body, which is the hydrogen atom in science, is where the consciousness comes into our forms. So when we understand quantum mechanics, which I wouldn't expect a lot of you here to understand, but it's pretty simple to understand when you study it a little bit, you begin to realize that not only can you release the nuclear forces inside of us and make a bomb, but you can also release the nuclear forces inside of us and cause tremendous healing to happen to yourself and others, tremendous balance to come overnight to a planet, because we are all holographically connected together. The oxygen atom in our constitution, what it does is it allows the form that we have consciousness in to breathe in the environment that's in it. So that's why the Eastern people have always said this is the atom of prana. So we have nitrogen and oxygen and hydrogen and carbon. Nitrogen's job, if you study chemistry, is to build the form. It builds the protein molecule in the body. And so when you start working with these four structures, you start to realize what you are and what you can do with yourself. You start realizing that, for example, our bodies from DNA are minerals. Our bodies are 5% mineral, yet 5% of the mineral in our bodies controls 95% of metabolic functions. And it's really sad in our society because now we're coming to a time where we need to really unlock the forces and character of DNA and bring those up into consciousness to be enriched by what's here for us in this present time. If you look back at the past, and you look back at where we were 300 years ago or 400 years ago, you see the progression of science was a lot more retarded than it is today. The obvious reason for that is the atomic structure of the people couldn't host the intelligence that's necessary to bring us up to where we are in those periods of times. We also have a phenomenon, that is energy follows thought. And when energy follows thought, thought manifests action. We have seven planes of consciousness that we work within. We're on the lowest plane of consciousness, which is known as the physical plane. If you back up one state of consciousness, you go to what's called the astral plane. We all go to the astral plane at night when we sleep. We don't think of the power that we have there. Or if we go into an accident and are killed, we move out of our bodies and we go into the astral plane, and we live in the astral plane until we reincarnate again back on the physical plane. So we have all of these factors to deal with. Beyond the astral plane, we have the mental plane, which is spontaneous on one level and logical on another. Beyond that, we have the plane of intellect, each one a higher level of consciousness, each one a simpler form of energy, more intense and more directed than the previous one. Now, I'm sure most of you have heard of the prophecies of the pyramids, the end of the millennium, and all of these kinds of things, that these quatrains that not only Nostradamus, but a whole host of other people espouse forward into our society. And then you hear more and more about it on all, even TLC channels, all the cable channels are starting to cover all this stuff. Well, what they're talking about is a merging point. People are afraid of this merging point, but there comes a point when the human DNA is so high in frequency that it merges perfectly with spirit, and we become superhuman. Those of us that are able to take this test, that be able to stand this purification. And we're in the purifying point now. So we're coming from the Piscean Age. The Piscean Age, the integrity of the soul was that I believe. So as a result of this integrity, with this consciousness, the construction of the way our world went for the last 1,000 or 2,000 years was the building of a lot of churches to support religion, through tremendous political structures, war structures were built, and governments were put in place, all to support belief systems. And then, of course, we had the holy wars and the fight between the belief systems. But now we come into another space, and a different type of soul is not coming in with a consciousness of I believe, but a consciousness of I know. We have knowers here. We don't need the Holy Bible to find God, and we don't need an environmental impact report to realize the earth is pretty screwed up right now. We know these things. So this brings us to a higher frequency. When we have a higher frequency of soul starts to incarnate with more and more and more of the answers. So we have to turn to those souls for guidance. This is very important. And if we don't turn to those souls for guidance, then we're not going to go anywhere. And this is the progression of life. It's a normal thing. So as we move around the Pleiades, it's this 25,827.5 years, and we go through these different ages or cycles, and the vibratory field changes, other things start to happen too. And one of the other things that starts to happen is we have what's called a compression of consciousness. Compression of consciousness means that the astral plane starts to fuse into the physical plane. You start to see changes in physics and science when this begins to happen, this phenomenon begins to happen, because here we limit things to the speed of light. The speed of light is everything to us in science and physics. In order to go beyond the speed of light, we have to move out of this dimension. We have to go into the fourth dimension of time. We go into the fourth dimension of time, we approach a doorway. And this doorway can take us anywhere we want to go. A simple anomaly of this would be a dying star. If you take a dying star that would have been a million miles across, and it starts to shrink down into something that's 3 feet across, its gravity increases tremendously. When its gravity increases tremendously, it produces around it what's called an event horizon. Anything that comes within the realm or the domain of that event horizon will be directed immediately down to this basketball-sized star that was once a million miles across because of the extreme gravity. When this is drawn in, space is no longer flat. Space now becomes positively or negatively curved. This is what made Einstein so famous when he discovered the theory of relativity. And he said that in the theory of relativity, which was proven during an eclipse of Jupiter at one point, that if this black hole in fact does exist and light goes near it, light will be directed off its path or disappear altogether. And this was proven. This made Einstein very famous back in the 30s. And, of course, the rest is history. Then we also have the theory of relativity, which he never finished, which is now being finished by life itself. And so when you have a star that starts to decompress and get smaller and cool down, it starts to warp space, creating this huge event horizon across it. Energy starts to go down into that star. And it goes down into that star, it goes into what's called a singular form. All energy, whether it be light, whether it be cosmic, goes into a singular form. And when it goes into a singular form, it becomes what's called a space-time singularity. In a space-time singularity, it goes into zero time as it disappears off the event horizon. And going into zero time, it goes into what's called a wormhole. In the wormhole, the energy is distributed back across the seven levels of consciousness and directed back into the hydrogen atom of every human being here. And someday, when science understands the feedback between the dying star and the birth of a child and sees the relationship, it'll be just as we understand. We are the universe. And this is the point of science, the point of realization that we're going into now, and this is the Pleiadian teachings that are now available for this world to understand. So I've been fascinated by the work that I've been exposed to. I started out at the University of Michigan when I was real young. I was about 9 years old in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We worked on wasn't called the Philadelphia experiment, but it was the equivalent of it. It was the tail end of it, actually. And we learned about warping things and creating magnetic fields and diamagnetic fields. And we learned about what's called electrogravity. In my chapter, in my new book, The Secret Promise, where I talk about propulsion systems, because that comes up in a lot of people's, a lot of questions. People say, well, how does this work and how does that work? How does this, AVRO, reverse engineered alien vehicle, Area 51, work versus a Pleiadian or Andromedan or a Reticulan ship? What's the difference between gravity and electrogravity, anti-gravity? These are a lot of questions that come up. So I got into these things were pushed upon me when I was just a kid. And so as a result of that, I started out early. When I was like 8 years old, this would be back in the early 50s, we were hooking oscilloscopes up to our heads, putting probes on our brains and scanning our brain waves and then re-injecting brainwave frequencies to change our brain frequencies to see where our minds would go. I mean, if you can imagine look how spaced out I am now. Look where I started, I can attest to that. When I went in the Air Force, I went to the 776th Aero Squadron, which is the parent of the 773rd. The 773rd was located at Montauk, where Al Bielek and all those guys were. I was out here on the West Coast. They were on the East Coast. And the funny thing about working with those radars is a couple of real interesting things came up. Number one, those radar sets work between 375 and 425 megahertz, which happens to be the exact frequency that DNA reproduces in the body. If you were to take a single strand of DNA and unwind it from each cell in your body before you start to age and it shrinks and changes wavelength, you would see it as 39.5 centimeters long, which frequency-wise is about 400 megahertz. So when you start working with equipment that works on human DNA frequencies, a lot of strange things start to happen. There's no way around it. And everyone, you talk to anybody that ever worked on one of those early warning radar sites, nobody there was even close to sane. Crazy things happened all the time on all these sites. Eventually, of course, it caused the destruction of the sites. But what was really interesting working on the radars, the main two radars that we both squadrons had was called the ANFPS-35 radar. And I do my workshop in a couple hours or an hour or so. I'll show you pictures of all this because I got lots of nice pictures. Those radar sets, when they were developed over at Los Alamos, they had a particular problem with them, and that was that we were being observed by extraterrestrial visitors, which really started in great intensity right after the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So while we were building these radar sets, this is the generation before me. I got to install them and operate them. This is when they developed them, previous generation. When they did that, these Renticulan ships got into their beams, which are going up and down the valley from Los Alamos down to Albuquerque. When they got inside their beams of 5 million watts, they didn't have proper shielding on their plutonium reactors. The aliens didn't. So it started causing a whole rift of crashes. Crashes, for example, like Roswell. Crashes like Laredo, Aztec. There were many of them. The real secrecy came with the Roswell crash when they was actually a twofold crash. And there's a new book that's out written by, I forget the guy's name, but he used to work at the Pentagon. It's pretty interesting. It's got a lot of interesting facts in it. He talks about some of the technology switches from the alien to our technologies and how it was accomplished. But one of the interesting things, when the ship crashed, the Roswell ship broke in two parts, and one when they recovered one part, which was on the second day. Remember, Jesse Marcel made his announcement on the first day about a saucer, and then the second day the whole scenario had changed because on the second day they found a ship that was crashed full of human body parts. There was enough parts in there from over 100 human beings. That's when the secrecy, that's when the MJ-12 was formed, that's when things got a little bit tight. And I was around in those days. I remember those days. And so, as a result, the government got very paranoid. In 1954, we ended up making a deal with the aliens at Muroc Field, which is now Edwards. It was on February 18th when Eisenhower was out there. And basically, we gave them sanctuary for exchange in technology. That exchange of technology was really big. They immediately moved a bunch of the aliens up to Dulce, New Mexico. I've been up there. Brought film crews up there. We've x-rayed all the ground up there, located all kinds of machines underground, running at 400 hertz frequencies, which are military frequencies. The reason they choose places like Dulce is very similar to their same choices over in Kauai in Hawaii. These are volcano sites, and they have underground lava tubes, so it doesn't take much to excavate a little bit more areas so that they can have their cities there. There are several million grays on this planet right now. I don't know how many of you saw, but a while back we had there was a NASA shot. If Sean Morton were here, he could tell you the exact details on it. But there's a picture taken from one of our Skylab, not the Skylab, but the one of the Apollo, not the Apollo, but the Challenger missions. And I think it was from the Atlantis. And they videotaped. The videotape was caught of a saucer ship a little ways away. And all of a sudden it jumps, and this beam comes flying up. And the ship jumps out of the way, and this beam goes sailing by the saucer. Well, that is what Star Wars is all about. I started working on Star Wars in Autonetics, which is a division of Rockwell, in 1962 on a program that was called the ILAS program. And what our job was to do with that, because I've done a lot of work with lasers even then, was to develop a laser that could be also mixed with a particle beam to create a weapon. And we did, in fact, that. And it is in place, and it is in operation. How many of you have seen these big green flashes across the sky or heard of them? These big green flashes are caused by the destruction of these different ships that are coming here that are not friendly when they get struck by one of these beams that was very similar to the one that was taken from the Atlantis space shuttle. I was in Newport Beach, as I live in Laguna Beach, California, and I was in Newport Beach about 2 weeks ago driving down the coast. And I always carry a camera now, because now I'm taking pictures of when I have contacts with the groups that I'm dealing with, I'm taking pictures of their technology and their ships, and I'll show some of them in my slides, some of my newest pictures. I had my camera with me, but I didn't have it set. And as I was going down Pacific Coast Highway, I saw this white beam come from very high altitude, and first I thought, here comes the meteor. And it was just right after sunset, so you could see the lighter sky and the darker sky, and it was still fairly lit. It was like about 20 minutes after sunset. And all of a sudden, this beam came down and hit this green object, and this green object broke in half and started shooting green spots all over the place, like showers. And then the two of them came down, and two more white beams of light came down and hit it again, and it broke into a million pieces. So that was a battle right over Newport Beach, as far as I was concerned. And I talked to some people in the field, and he says there's a lot more to it than that right now. So we are having visitations. There is a lot going on. And what we've done is we've created, you know, a whole series of science to deal with. Our physical bodies have to change now to host this energy. As this compression of the planes is starting to take place, whereas the astral plane is starting to merge with the physical plane, strange phenomena and many doorways in the fourth dimension start to open. That's why a lot of times you'll see headlines. You know, on one slide I've got, it talks about front cover of Time magazine saying that 65 or 80% of America believe in angels now. Why do they? You know, it's starting to happen. But when you have this compression of the planes, then you have a blockage to the astral plane of disincarnating souls. In other words, in lay terms, 400 years ago, how many people lived on the planet? Not very many in comparison to how many we have now, right? There were several billion people missing on the surface of this planet 400 years ago. Today, we've got 6 to 8 billion people. Where were all those souls when they weren't, you know, a few years ago, just a few years ago? And now they're here. So what's happening is the astral plane is now unloading itself onto the physical plane. This is what the Bible talks about in Armageddon. It talks about the Great White Throne Judgment Day. And all of these things are well known. They were well known even to Hitler with his idea of the thousand years of Reich. But they're also well known to the Greys, secret government, NSC. And this whole program of these extraterrestrials trying to conquer and steal a lot of our consciousness away from us is being expedited under Revelation. It's a perfect place to sit. And who's to say that the writers of Revelation didn't suspect this would happen in the first place? An example, you realize that 400,000 people in this country at least are implanted? How does an implant work? Well, a typical example would be 1984 when Whitney, I forget his first name, but this guy named Whitney, started writing a diary. He says, I'm going to kill my wife. I'm a Christian person. I don't believe in death and killing and hurting people. I'm going to kill my wife. Something inside of my head is saying I can't control myself. And so he did, and then he went up on an Austin, Texas school tower and shot 14 people as a sniper with an automatic weapon before he was killed. They made a diary out of it. It was on ABC. They did a CAT scan on him like we've done on a lot of people and found two implants in his brain. It was announced on ABC during that movie. Then the government stepped in and began to legislate the disarmament of America and take away our constitutional rights. Because every time one of these incidents is created, what happens is the government comes in and starts to take away more and more constitutional rights. When FEMA was formed, for example, Federal Emergency Management Act was formed to enforce martial law. Martial law was, they figured that was going to have to be enacted when the terrorists could start carrying nuclear weapons around in the size of a briefcase, which Saddam Hussein was set up as being able to produce these briefcases, but in fact he wasn't able to do that. They were produced somewhere else in the world. But that just brings you right up to the forefront of where we are now, some of the problems that we're facing on a bigger level. And that's how we get into taking care of ourselves and taking care of our frequency and of our bodies and understanding how we can do something about this and not allow all this to happen around us. Because if you don't take care of you, the government will, and you won't like their results, believe me. They aren't very nice. We began to study back a few years ago the orchestration of all these negative things, and I did a whole lot of work, and I sold more Global 2000 reports than the government could print. How many of you remember the Global 2000 report? It came out during the Reagan administration, put together during the Carter administration. 40 different countries put it together. 19 federal agencies put it together. It was a pretty powerful report. And then in 1981, it was characterized as a Haig Kissinger depopulation policy, because in fact, what they were really doing, when we found out what the report was really all about, was genetically engineering things like HIV and putting them out to the world and trying to kill people and depopulate a good portion of the world. And this is what began. This is where we are now. When they told you the ozone layer was being destroyed. It wasn't being destroyed by fluorocarbons. It was being destroyed by high-flying jet aircraft. Even in the Global Report, it told you that that's where the destruction was actually coming from. So it goes on and on. When they began to realize herpes 1, 2, and 3 in the colleges, when they were introduced, because they knew college people would spread this. This was the hosting place for the marriage of the cattle, the sheep bovine and the cattle virus that came later on, the HIV virus that we know it today. It came together in 1978 in San Francisco when they injected 2,000 people with a serum that was similar to it, and they all manifested cases of AIDS, and it was spread to Africa. In Mobile, Alabama, in 1960, the U.S. government, under the polio auspices of the polio vaccination, injected 1 million American people. So you can get an idea. They were busted for it, and some of that came out during the Clinton administration. What could he do? Apologize for four generations back. But this is the kind of stuff that goes on. So this takes away your consciousness. So now we have a science now that brings it back. And when we start working with the human body, that's the first place that we work. I mean, yeah, we do work with time travel and things like that, but that's not our main focus right now. Our main focus right now is to make you function better under different types of environmental stresses. The whole science of the health industry today is based on the biochemistry of the body, vitamins, herbs, things like that. And it's one thing that people don't even realize when you go right down into minerals. Minerals is the first thing that we got to put into our bodies. Like I say, minerals are 5% of your body controlling 95% of your metabolic functions. The minerals operate in three different frequencies. You have your low-frequency minerals, which operate through the autonomic nervous system, which causes your heart to beat, your breathing to happen, those kinds of things. If those are in balance, you'll never have to worry about cholesterol levels because cholesterol is manufactured in the liver. But if you throw that mineral content of your body out, you're going to have, I don't care whether you eat butter, margarine, or what, if you don't, you're going to have cholesterol problems. So you got to get the low-frequency minerals in the body in check. Then we have the mid-frequency body minerals in the body. And I bet you don't even understand those. I'm going to ask you a question. Those of you that heard me speak before know the answer. Don't answer it. But if you start to get sick right now, today, and you start to get a sore throat, and you're not feeling too good, and you go to the health food store, what's the first thing you think you're going to buy? Vitamin C, that's what everybody says, right? That's the worst thing you can put in your body when you start to get sick. That's the worst thing you can do. It's only expressing the ignorance that allows you to get sick in the first place a step further. Do you know why? When you start to get sick, first of all, your immune system is your consciousness. You know, whether you're meditating with aliens or talking to them or meditating to yourself or writing a book or being creative, that's your immune system. When you do drugs and stuff and drink alcohol, you're playing with your immune system. That's the high you're going to get out of it. So you're playing with your immune system. It's a consciousness. Okay? It has a central frequency in the DNA, in the body. Okay? And so what happens is when the immune system can't maintain its integrity, it drops the DNA frequencies of the body. When the DNA frequencies drop of the body, then what happens is the white cell count drops. Okay? The white cell count drops, and here comes an invader. An alien RNA, we call them. An alien RNA that wants to build its own DNA. So your body has already dropped its defense. Here comes an alien invader, just like aliens from space, into your body. It starts attacking all the protein in your cells and taking them over and making, you know, viral infections of alien things that shouldn't be in your body. And you put vitamin C in there, what is it going to do? It feeds the invader. Because the body has lost its intelligence to discriminate what's good and what's bad. Okay? That's a fact. And most people that are guilty of that, putting vitamin C in their bodies, are people that don't even take it in the first place, which even makes it worse. They've read about it, they've heard about it, their friends do it when they get sick, so they go and do it. Okay? You might as well just be jumping off a cliff. What you need to do is get your intelligence back in your body. You know how you do that? With a mineral. Chromium picolinate. I mean, any AIDS patient that's smart can tell you that's the first thing he put in his body, because they know already. Chromium picolinate. Put that in your body. When that goes into your body, it starts to bring your frequency back up. Your body's 5% mineral, controls 95% of your metabolic functions, its central frequency. Put chromium picolinate in your body, lots of it, for at least half a day to restore the DNA to its potential so it knows the difference. At the same time, when you put chromium picolinate in, automatically your white blood cell count will skyrocket. Remember, the white blood cells are the guys that are going to go in there and destroy these alien invaders. When you get your body up and running again, you may not be feeling a whole lot better, but your body is feeling better. You may not feel it in your mind yet, Then get some vitamin A in your system, which is what we call a first-ray vitamin. Works with the will. Vitamin A, huge amounts of that. And then when your will is working, your system's balancing, now you can jam yourself with all the vitamin C, and boy, it'll work just great. You know, simple stuff like that. People on this planet, as highly educated as we are, don't know that. You know, they still don't know how to take care of themselves. And there's, you know, it's like, and forget antibiotics. You know, there are so many of those out there now. There's 6 for every known disease known to man. And we put so many antibiotics in our system, they're in our water table, they're everywhere in the world, they don't work anymore. You know, back 300 or 400 years ago, syphilis or gonorrhea was considered a fatal disease, made you blind and crazy and everything. Then back in the 40s and 50s, it was treated like the common cold with tetracycline. Today it's a fatal disease again, because antibiotics don't work. So I had to get into formulation to deal with this. And when I got into formulation, I started using silver, for example, colloidal silver. I use a lot of that in my formulas now. You know, the Chinese used it 3,000 years ago to sail across the world. If you get out there on a boat and you got a glass of water or a barrel of water, it's going to keep you alive for 3 months in a sailing ship going across the ocean. And you don't keep that water fresh, in 3 or 4 weeks, you've got mold in there and you can't drink that water, even though you're out in the middle of the ocean. So they put a silver coin in. The FDA approved it in 1938 as an over-the-counter drug. It fights funguses, it fights bacteria and viruses. It gets them all, and it doesn't hurt you as long as it's done. But a lot of these home labs that make it with these machines that you buy and stick them at home, particle size is too big. You get those large particles in your body, doing the making it at home, you don't know what you're doing. You're going to jam up all your organs. After 4 or 5 years, you're going to hurt yourself. So I make a very small particle size colloidal silver when I make it. I use it in a lot of my formulas. The next area that we need to get into is trace minerals. Trace minerals don't exist in your food today. There's no way to get them in your body. Trace minerals work through your parasympathetic nervous system. You know, when I have built these devices that extend your aura. We use them for connecting people up, making contactees. I've been a contactee most of my life, and I've trained many people to become contactees. I don't do it on a big group level like Stephen Greer does. I train people like Sai Baba, and I train very specialized, the Dalai Lama.